I'd like to thank the ladies of the church for serving that sleep-inducing turkey before I got up to preach. I do appreciate that. If you go to sleep, we'll come up with some way to wake you up. Turn to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And take just a second to glance through that chapter, if you will. People asked me if I was ready to preach or if I was nervous. And if you glance at that chapter, you'll know that I wasn't too nervous until Brother Cummins got up to preach. And I said, Lord, bless his message, but keep him on in my outline. And he danced all the way around it. But if you're looking for a way to title this message on the tape, just call it Part 2. Now think back to his sermon. We'll look at verse number 8. No need for any background. It says, Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now think back before lunch. Brother Cummins read that. You were sitting there. You thought, boy, that Lot sure was something else. Brother Cummins hit on it pretty good. So how can a man do that to his own family? He says, Do ye to them as is good in your eyes. What a rotten scoundrel. Let me tell you something else. I dare say that in one form or another, there are parents and pastors in this room that have said the exact same thing. So, well, what are you talking about? I never gave my daughters over to sodomites. Outside those doors right there is Sodom. Outside the doors of your church is Sodom. Outside the doors of your home is Sodom. Let us in. And in one way or another, there are people in this room right now that have said, open that door up and said, do ye to them as is good in your eyes.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't judge Lot when you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Said, well, I never gave them over to homosexuals to have their way with them. But there are several things you have given them over to. We want to look at that this morning, this afternoon. First thing, do ye to them as is good in your eyes. We've given over our families, our young people, to Sodom's entertainment.
Amen.
The movies, the TV shows, the music. Let them have it. Well, I bring them to church. Well, that's great. You're still letting them open the door up to Sodom the rest of the week. Here's where I think the problem is. It's you older fellas. Talk about the younger fellas. I'll talk about you older fellas. You baby boomers. You that came up in the 60s and 70s. You grew up listening to the Beatles and the Bugs and the Turtles and everything else. And hey, I turned out all right. My dad said there was a bunch of noise and those old preachers started beating on that and everything else. But I still go to church. So if my daughter listens to Britney Spears or the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or whoever else or to anything else that's out there, they'll turn out all right. Don't worry about it. Do unto them as is good to your own eyes. And you're condemning Lot? Better watch it. What television shows do we let our young people watch? What movies do they watch? And as I go through this, there's responsibility for three people: parents, pastors, and the young people themselves. There's responsibility for all of you. So if you young people are sitting back there and you say, yeah, you tell them, wait a second, you got responsibility yourself.
Sure.
If your parents will open the door up to Sodom for you, you better listen to what's preached.
Amen.
You say, oh, I've heard that stuff all the time. Those preachers are nothing but a bunch of old windbags. And you know what? I'll agree with you. A lot of preachers are a lot of old windbags. But if an old windbag is preaching something out of this book, you better pay attention to it. Think what you may about the preacher. He's just the herald of God. It's the message you need to listen to. Our entertainment. Are we watching what influences them? Think about the effect they can have. The entertainment affects the language, the dress, and the philosophy of right and wrong of our young people. You wonder, well, where do the young people get this kind of talking at? I don't think it's church. They hear it from some rapper on some album someplace. They can understand it even if you can't. They get it from the movies. You wonder, well, they've been in Sunday school, they've been in church, why don't they have the sense of right and wrong that they should? Well, that's 2-3 times a week. TV and movies are giving them a completely different philosophy every other day.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Do unto them as is good in your own eyes. You need to watch the entertainment that our young people have.
Amen.
Where else are the Sodomites lurking? Well, we've given them over to entertainment. We've also given them over blindly to education.
Amen.
Now, I've heard that some preachers have got themselves in the hot water when they touch on this topic of education, especially public education. So I'll tread lightly as I can. And I'll be even-handed. Especially some of you that are from southern churches. You pastors and the parents in your churches may think your public schools are just fine. We're not like them Yankee schools. Those Yankee schools, those are the ones that have gone to the devil. But our school, in our little country town, why, we got some old pot-bellied deacon from the First Baptist Church as the principal. Well, that doesn't make anything right. Your textbooks, your state boards of education still are indoctrinating the secular humanism that you find in New York City or Los Angeles or any place else. Just because you got some deacon from some old Southern Baptist church on the school board, that's not going to affect the philosophy that they get taught. Need to watch that. And I'm not saying a blanket statement that all public education is wrong. Might come pretty close to that. But my main point is, don't just blindly give your kids over to that. Maybe your school is just fine. That's great. But I doubt if a lot of parents have really studied it. I doubt if a lot of parents have really found out what's in those textbooks. They just say, do with them as is good in your own eyes. You're the educators. Better be careful. You're doing the same thing Lot did. Christian education. You can't blindly just throw your kids in that either.
Amen.
I was educated in Christian education from kindergarten through college. And a backslidden, carnal young person in a Christian school is one of the roughest things you'll ever run into. You better be careful not to blindly just throw them into that either. Find out what they're being indoctrinated in. Find out who they're hanging around with. They're hanging around some hardened, unsaved teenager in a Christian school. It's going to have just as much influence as a public school. We need to watch those things. And the biggest one, or your state colleges. It's unfortunate. We've got a system with work where to get any kind of well-paying job, you've got to have a piece of sheepskin. And if you look at what these schools teach, eighth graders 50 years ago had more intelligence than most college graduates today.
True.
That's right. That's right.
You've got to have a master's degree anymore before you know how to tie your shoe, pretty much. Most of these state colleges are nothing but a way to get away from mom and dad and drink and carry on without anybody watching.
Amen.
And if you blindly send your child into that, you're just like Lot.
Amen.
Don't you condemn Lot and just blindly say, here you go, let's go to the state college, do what is good in your own eyes. Entertainment, education, the education affects the philosophy and worldview of our young people. I've made this point before, and you pastors can bear me out on it. Think of your own churches. How many young people have been at your church that have gone off to college and never come back into that church, or at least not come back faithfully? You say, well, they got a good job, though. We'll pray that they come back. Maybe they will come back. Maybe after the first divorce or something. But just blindly throw them out there. It's not to say blanketly that all of it's wrong. But you need to put at least as much thought into the education of your children as you put into what new car you want to buy.
Amen.
Not just say, well, they're the experts. Do with them as is good in your own eyes. You're just as rotten a rascal as Lot was. Entertainment, education, environment. Who are the friends that your children hang around with? Your young people. What influence do they have on their lives? You say, well, why is my kid dressing like this all of a sudden? Who they're hanging around with. They want to be just like them. And all these young people talk about, we want to be individuals. Then they all dress just alike. I don't want to be like the establishment, those old short-haired, suit-wearing people. But they'll all dress just like their other friends. They're conforming to that. Conforming to the world. Unfortunately, too many of our young people are conforming to the world. And parents and pastors, I think, have thrown their hands up in a lot of cases.
Yep.
Said, well, what can you do? They'll get through it. We'll pray for them. If it's God's will for them to be back in church, they'll be back in church. We put a lot of things on God. That's really our responsibility.
Amen.
It's like the sinner that stands before God at the great white throne. Says, well, you never elected me, God. Well, you had the gospel. What'd you do with it? Well, I rejected you. Don't blame it on God.
Right.
We blame a lot of things on God. Jeremiah says to learn not the ways of the heathen. But with our environment, it's where they learn that stuff. We need to guard against that. Don't just usher them right on into that stuff. Entertainment, education, environment, and employment. Goes back to that college. Why do they say, well, you got to get into this good school. If you go to this such and such state university, boy, they got a great program for this. You can make a ton of money. And I guess I can understand a parent wanting his child to do well in life. But what is your definition of success?
Right.
Having a $200,000 house and a new car? Being away from the Lord? If you look in the passage here, and Brother Cummins hit on this, it's what Lot was doing. Abraham's out here in the woods, out in the desert with his cattle and everything else. Lot says, well, I'm going down to the city. And if you read between the lines a little bit, you can kind of see what's going on there. You know, he and Mrs. Lot probably got together and said, well, the Sodom schools are really good. You know, if we stay with Abraham, the men out in the fields are going to educate the children. But they got good schools here in Sodom, and we can make a lot more money, have a nicer house. And you and the kids don't need to be living in tents anymore. Justify these things. Yeah, Abraham, he's a little kooky, you know. I mean, he was out there. He's out giving money to that preacher out there in the woods in Melchizedek, you know. We got better uses for the money here. We don't need to be fanatics. That's the kind of justification Lot had. It's the kind of justification that goes on in our churches every day, among our families every day. Not to say that you pastors don't preach against that, but we need to be more vigilant too. You know, just a little bit of encouragement for us. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to really hammer it home to our families, to our young people, to our adults. Put God first. God will take care of everything else.
That's right.
David said, I've been young and old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Right.
Does that mean if you put God first, the new Cadillac will be in the driveway next week? No. A lot of black preachers like to preach that kind of stuff. You know, these word of faith preachers. It's popular. The Bible doesn't say that. God does say He'll take care of you and that He'll provide and bless you. That takes faith. It takes faith to put God first and let everything else follow second. But we need to ingrain that in our people. God will provide for us. Put Him first. Our young people don't need to be skipping church to work at some little job someplace. If they do, then that shows you where the priorities of the family are. Every once in a while something can happen, I understand that. But if they make a habit of doing that, missing Sunday every week and Wednesday every week, they're missing out on being fed the Word of God. They'd throw you in jail if you didn't feed them physical food. If you keep them from getting spiritual food, that's worse. But Lot said, do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Unfortunately, a lot of folks in our churches have done the same thing. A lot of pastors have stood aside and watched it happen. So these are the things that we're giving our young people over to. Next question that this passage brings up is, just what kind of person would do such a thing? You say, well, that's a rough thing to happen. How does that happen? Well, look at Lot's life. You see some characteristics here. First thing is hypocrisy. Pastors and parents, do you live what you believe and teach? I think that's ruined a lot of young people. Dad says to do one thing, or the preacher says to do something, then they get home, and Dad's bad-mouthing the preacher, and Dad's doing something else. Dad hollers at you about the music you're listening to, but he's flipping through and watching who knows what on cable, or listening to who knows what on the radio. Hypocrisy. Lot. I'm sure Lot probably taught his daughters a lot of the things he learned from Abraham. But when they saw his life, he wasn't living according to those things. He was living for the money. He was living out in the world. Need to watch the hypocrisy in our lives. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect all the time. The only way to avoid hypocrisy totally is to have no standards. Then you have nothing to reach to. But we need to make sure that as much as is possible, and even today, to make that commitment once again, have the Lord help us to live consistently.
Amen, brother. Amen.
To not only have standards and instill those standards in our young people, but to live up to them.
Amen.
And when we fail, admit it.
Yep.
Ask forgiveness.
Yep.
And move on. Lot was a hypocrite. His young people saw it. It affected the way they were.
Yep.
The other thing, Lot was weak. If you're a weak parent, if you're a weak pastor, your young people are going to be out in sorrow. Say, well, I don't want to rock the boat at the house. They'll get through it. The kids are young. They'll move through the phase. That's being weak.
Right.
Well, this is a good family in the church. If I preach too hard on this, I know their kids are doing that and this and everything else. It might rock the church a little bit. I might get a nasty phone call. They might even leave. Let them leave. Keep preaching the Bible. Don't be weak. If you're weak, they're going to go anyway. Preaching on the things that people don't like. You know, in some circles, the new evangelical crowd, they don't like you preaching about doctrine and Jesus and things like that. Then you get to some other crowd, maybe more along the lines of us. They love to hear you preach doctrine. But when you get into stuff like separation and worldliness and living a holy life, cool that down a little bit. We're Baptists. We believe in doctrine. Well, that's great. Separation and holiness are doctrines too.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You say, well, that's what those fundamentalists preach. They're legalists. It's the whole counsel of God. It's got the doctrine.
Amen.
It's got teaching. It's got practical living. It's got holiness.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of good stuff in here.
Amen.
Not just your little pet doctrines. Pastor, you better be preaching the whole doctrine, the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to have a church where the young people don't know the Bible, don't want to love the Lord, families that are weak. They need to be girded and strengthened, especially in doctrine, but also in practical living.
Amen.
God's whole counsel. Lot was weak. If you're a weak father, you're going to have trouble in the house. Mom shouldn't be the main disciplinarian in the family.
Right.
You as the father are an object lesson in that house. You help that child understand the proper relationship between him and his heavenly father. Why do people not understand the fear of the Lord like they used to? A lot of families don't have fathers anymore. To really understand the fear of the Lord, you have to understand the fear of your earthly father. That there's still love there, but you know you don't go against the rules or something's going to happen. That's broken down now.
Amen.
And if you're weak, it's broken down in your family. That's what happened a lot. They had no fear of God. They had no fear of Lot. Right along the lines of this, lack of discipline. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now you notice the word is train. Not tell him something every once in a while, but it's train. There are plenty of fathers that will spend hours out in the yard playing catch and knocking balls for their kid to learn, and to be trained on how to be a good ball player. There are a lot of churches that have these softball leagues. They'll train the young people on how to play softball. But there's not much training in how to be a good Christian. Not much training in living right. Not much training in studying God's Word. Training comes with discipline. Just like you were trained to learn how to drive a car, you were trained on how to do your job. Somebody just didn't say, y'all do a good job at work. Hopefully not. Y'all should not be getting fired soon enough. They taught you how to do it. We need to aggressively teach our young people how to be a good Christian, how to do what's right, how to study God's Word, how to love God's Word. Teach them, discipline them, make them disciples. Discipline's a rough thing. That's why we don't like to do it. Anything in life that's worth doing takes some discipline. Most of you combed your hair this morning because your parents trained you and disciplined you to comb your hair. Just like that, you need to be trained in the things of God. Your mother trained you to brush your teeth in the morning. She may have trained you to put clean socks on or make your bed. Well, we should train them how to pray. Train them how to have devotion with God. Train them how to study the Bible. Train them how to find in the Bible those standards they should live by. Too often that's been neglected. And what happens? Just like anything else that you neglect and don't train, it runs wild. Don't cut your grass for a while, see what happens. Naturally, it grows on its own. If you let your young people grow on their own, you're going to get a wild young person. They need to be trained.
Amen.
Lot didn't do that. So what were the results of Lot's failures? They're the same results that you're going to have. You say, well, what's all this hot air you're preaching about today? Does that mean anything to me? It's up to you. If you want Lot's results, do what Lot did. If you want to avoid Lot's results, do something else. What were his results? Chapter 19 and verse 14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seen as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Unbelief, first result. The way Lot lived, the way he raised his children, the way he just was willing to let Sodom take over and did what was right in their eyes, led to unbelief. Again, kind of read between the lines. Mr. and Mrs. Lot. Little Sally Lot comes home one day with a boy in her arm. Says, oh, look at this fine young man I found. We want to get married. Well, Lot's talking to Mrs. Lot. Says, really, she ought to be marrying one of Abraham's people. You know, these people of Sodom, they're not our type. Then Mrs. Lot, she's a little more liberal than Lot. She said, well, honey, this boy's not as bad as the other Sodomites. You know how those other boys are in Sodom. They're little. At least these boys are straight. And Lot gave in and said, well, I guess you're right. Could be worse. That happened in some of our churches. Little Sally Lot comes home with a boy that she found at the state college. He's a member at the Methodist Church. He's never really been, but that's where his family goes. Dad says to Mom, well, I sure wish he were a Baptist. Well, he could be worse. Remember when she went out with that punk rocker that time? At least he's a decent young man. He's got short hair. He's a Phi Beta Kappa. He's going to be a doctor, you know, so they'll be able to raise their grandchildren good. You know, they're Methodists. At least they're not Catholic. You know, they kind of believe in the gospel like we do. You know, they got that little, in their church, they got that little urn that they drink water out of for the little babies and everything. But it's a little, it's not as bad as it could be. And Dad says, well, yeah, I guess you're right. He's a decent young man. I don't guess he's saved, but maybe he's saved. You know, maybe he went to Vacation Bible School at the Methodist Church when he was young. He said a prayer, and we can hope he's saved. That kind of justify that stuff. And it goes on in our churches all the time. Why? Dad's weak. Lack of discipline, hypocrite. Do what's good in your own eyes, world. Could be worse. What did it lead to? Lot's case led to unbelief. When Lot finally came back and said, hey, this world's coming to an end. You need to get right. So what are you talking about, nut? You've been hanging around your Uncle Abraham too long. Turn them TV preachers off. We're talking about the world ending. You're living like the world never's going to end. Now all of a sudden you're saying it's going to end? Get out of here, old man. It's a rough spot to be in. There might be some parents in this room today that sown those seeds and had that happen. All of a sudden they got right with God, and now they're going back and talking to the daughters and the sons-in-law. So I know how you live. What are you talking about? They mock at it. Unbelief. Another result is unequally yoked. We covered that. And Brother Cummins covered it. The young people shouldn't be dating unsaved people.
Amen.
Go so far as to say they should. Your young person should not date somebody who is spiritually less mature than they are.
I'll be a Baptist, brother.
Ought to be a Baptist.
Man,
ought to be a Baptist that's at least
real
on the same level as they are spiritually, too.
Yeah.
If you've got a good, sound Baptist boy who doesn't read his Bible, he's not right with God and is kind of weak, and he marries your daughter who you've trained and reared properly, you're going to drag her down.
Man, that's right.
Be careful with that. Turn to verse 33 of chapter 19. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. It came to pass in the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made the father drink wine that night also, and the younger rose and lay with him. He perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Unbelief, unequally yoked, unbelievably wicked. Results of all this.
Amen.
It's one of the most awful passage of Scripture. The skeptic will look at that and say, what kind of Bible are you reading? It's awful. Well, sin's awful.
Yes, amen.
You say, well, how do these people get this way? Didn't happen overnight. You've got a whole progression there. That's the results of it. Listen to me or tune me out. But if you want Lot's results, do what Lot did. If you want to bake a cake, follow the recipe. You'll get a cake, not fried chicken. Do what Lot did, you'll get the same results. God help us. Do ye with them as the good in your own eyes. Simple thought. Not terribly profound. That's something we need to keep in mind. How vigilant are you as parents with the young people? How vigilant are you as pastors with the young people of your churches? They just can't grow up on their own. They need to be trained and disciplined. They need to be grounded firm in this book.
Amen.
And you young people, you have a responsibility too.
Amen.
If you hear everything that's preached, you everything I heard you heard me preach today, everything you've heard preached from this pulpit, from all these men today and through the years, and you reject it and choose to go in your own way, you're going to stand before God. If you're saved, it'll be the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, it'll be before the great white throne. You say, well, I got saved when I'm young. I can sow my wild oats and go back and live right later. You're never promised tomorrow. And even if you do make it past it, sin still has the scars that you're going to bear.
Amen.
Talk to some of these older people that have gone out into the world. Paul talks about delivering someone over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That's the most extreme thing that can happen if God's going to save or bring back one of his own. They get sent out in the world for the devil to have his way with them. Hopefully you don't have to get to that point. Hopefully you don't have to get out in Sodom to get beat up by the devil just to drag yourself back in here. You need to realize, hey, this book is true. Whatever you may think about whatever preacher's up here, he may seem like he's 1,000 years old, out of touch with everything that you know about, not as cool as the people on MTV. But this eternal book is true.
Amen.
All those people on MTV are looking for the answers. You've got the answer.
Amen.
You don't need to search around for anything else. Do right. Pastors, remain vigilant. Parents, remain vigilant. Young people, listen to them. Or else the fate that we see with Lot, you'll be the one with the damaged and destroyed life. May God help us.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.